The research is pretty clear. Integrated schools are good for kids across the board. But in Wake County and many other districts across the country, schools have become increasingly racially and socioeconomically segregated. As Wilson Sayre reports, the Wake County Board of Education is attempting to reverse that trend.
Randy Harrington is a retired firefighter, but in the 1960s and early 1970s, he was a student in Wake County's segregated school system.
The buses were always secondhand. You know, we got the hand-me-downs. We were told you had to be twice as good to get just as far, and they instilled that in us.
Harrington was in the last freshman class at Apex Consolidated High School.
We had a rumor about integration, and, you know, that we would be going over to the white school. A lot of the kids we knew from everyday life, but we didn't go to school together.
The consolidation of Wake County and Raleigh schools in the 1970s helped integrate schools. So did a system of busing black kids to white schools. But now, decades on, seeing two of his own kids go through the Wake County system, Harrington says the work that started when he was a kid has not been fully realized.
I still think they're segregated.
Segregation has certainly intensified over this last decade.
Jen Askew is a professor at NC State University in the College of Education. Her research focuses on desegregation. She says this increased segregation of Wake County schools comes after decades of successes. In fact, as many school systems in the late 90s, early 2000s got rid of diversity initiatives, Wake County found new ways to keep that work alive.
They shifted their policy from one that had been focused on race to one that was now focused on creating diversity through socioeconomic status as well as academic achievement.
Wake County was seen as a leader in this area. That was until 2010, when that diversity policy was stripped from county blueprints. Parents disgruntled at how students were moved across the district elected school board members aligned with the Tea Party movement, who touted neighborhood schools. But neighborhoods in Wake County are pretty starkly segregated in terms of socioeconomics and race. Now, the school board is looking to undo that work.
I think many of us feel like we sort of successfully put our finger in the dike to quit leakage, but we really were unable to reverse the trend of resegregation.
Jim Martin is a current member of the Wake County Board of Education. He was the chairman when the board announced earlier this year that reintegrating schools would be a top priority. Martin and the board plan to use an economic health index that takes into account things like housing costs, household income, and food stamp usage. And those economic indicators in Wake County map closely along racial lines.
It's time to try to do something different.
For many people, integration recalls the system of busing from the 1970s that moved students like Randy Harrington to new schools. Martin calls that a cheap technical solution.
I don't think anybody would advocate for that. I sure don't. So much of it was done on the backs of minority children. I think the biggest challenge that we have before us is how do we create opportunity in opportunity-poor areas?
He talks about making robust after-school programs available and streamlining transportation for students to take advantage of programs that already exist and starting new programs.
Could I, as a starting point, for example, take our 25 schools that have the largest English as a second language population, and in those schools teach both languages to all students?
And while this process is hoping to turn up some new approaches to integration, the landscape for this work has also changed. Wake County is far more diverse than it used to be. When Brown versus Board came out, it really only looked at black and white students. North Carolina's Latinx population, for example, has grown enormously over the past three decades. Homeschooling, private and charter schools have also added another level of complexity, demographically and financially. By the numbers, charters in particular are quite segregated, which some attribute to a kind of educational white flight. Letha Muhammad is concerned about how these public school alternatives will affect the ability to reduce segregation.
On the surface, I'm excited. Because I'm a parent and have children in the school and actively involved, even just on that level, I can come into my children's schools and see the segregation.
Muhammad is director of the Education Justice Alliance, a grassroots organization that helps parents build advocacy skills around education.
But in order to get at the real change, it has to be done through a collective or collaborative effort between the district and the folks that are most directly impacted.
She says the school board will need to get community buy-in for whatever solutions it comes up with, from all parents, not just affluent or white parents. This is especially important because of the proliferation of options outside of that public school system.
Let's create the space that allows people to fully participate in this process to make schools better for all of our children. Because everybody wins, right? When we have segregated schools, we don't win, right? But when we have schools that are a beautiful mix of all of us in the building, that all of us are able to fully thrive and be our best selves in that space, everybody wins.
The school board is spending this year looking at lots of different avenues to increase diversity. The aim is to get every school closer to the average economic health index for the county. The board said it will start implementing some of these smaller changes as soon as the coming school year, but the larger changes could take years to implement. Wilson Sayre, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.